Gods and Gamers podcast. I'm your boy Buttered Biscuits, and with me tonight is the Shadow Alchemist X, the mystery mixer of potions and I don't know. This is all I got. What's up, Jose?
You lost yourself there, man. I feel shame.
I do. It was not my best opening, but you know what? We're gonna roll with it, okay? We got storms rolling in. We had storms last night where you guys were at. So we didn't really record. So it feels off. But you know what? We're going to go with it. It feels good. Also, sniping the rooftops. We got Phantom Recon, a.k.a. Rico.
What's up, everyone? And welcome back.
And also joining us, we have El Tacoma returning. Yeah.
What's going on, everyone?
All right, guys. We're going to... we're going to kind of keep this one a little short for you guys, so you guys kick off your weekend. We're going to go ahead and start with a little bit of talk of, now that we've all got a chance to watch it, the Power Rangers Once and Always, and we'll be talking a little bit about how it's time for Nintendo to get their crap together. So let's go ahead and kick with the Power Rangers review. El Tacoma, you finally got to watch it. How was it? How did you feel about it?
I enjoyed it. Brought a bunch of nostalgia back, but... Yeah, there's some parts that were kind of like the old school corny that you enjoy, but I enjoyed it. I'm with you. Like taking all the nostalgia and all the stuff out, I give it an 8. It's a good movie. I actually recommend it.
Nice.
I didn't tear up like everybody says you would at the very end with it, but I thought it was pretty cool how they did the end credits. What they did, I thought that was pretty cool. Man, that was a good way to send them off.
Yeah, it's still kind of a fresh wound. Still, I know it's been almost a year now since Jason David Frank passed away, but it's just. I mean, yeah, with True Trang, I mean, yeah, we've gotten what over like 2 decades worth to get over, but then we had that fresh Band-Aid rip off of we lost another Ranger. It's hard.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not trying to spoil, but there's just. Certain part where they show her training in the little segments of her there and there before something happens. I thought that was pretty cool how they did that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was a pretty nice little send off. Now, it was a good way to say goodbye to old friends and say really goodbye to the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, because let's face it, they're not going to touch that ever again.
I think they don't need to touch it anymore. After how they did this, it's. But to me personally, I think it was like a perfect 10 the way they ended it and did the whole goodbye thing. Personally, I think they're done. It's perfect the way it is.
This one
exactly. Amy Jo Johnson wasn't there, but she's doing something else different for Power Rangers. This is the 30th anniversary has been announced. She's going to be doing a brand new story with Boom Studios. For the comic series, and she's doing something for their Kickstarter program that they're doing. She's writing a special chapter. Don't know what it's going to be about, but it's going to be a special chapter including that 30th anniversary set. So, and of course, Austin St. John, he couldn't do it because of issues that we won't talk about because, you know, whether or not he's been cleared or not is still in the air. But I think he's been cleared of it, but he still couldn't travel at that time. But yeah.
I mean, I still enjoyed it. I don't know if I watched it last. No, I don't think I did, but I watched it too. No, I enjoyed it. I agree with everything that Jermaine said. But for me, towards the end, it did make me a little bit teary-eyed a little bit towards the end, just because like it was good to see everybody back together, like the last time when everyone was still alive. I think it was actually part of the last time when they were all together, and I think it was pretty good that it was with Kimberly singing that song too, which kind of fit. It was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. I think that was the last episode they were all on set together. Because the fact that I know they only filmed a few episodes in season 2 with Walter, True, and Austin, and then everything else was stock footage. I recently rewatched those episodes. You could tell it's out of place. I'm like, oh, damn. Those three had to work around stock footage, was weird. But all in all, I'm glad you guys enjoyed the special. It's currently still doing pretty good on Netflix. Power Rangers Once and Always, if you haven't checked it out yet, go check it out. Try to bump those numbers up, try to get it higher. It's because I know they're trying to get to number one.
Yeah, I guess like after this, isn't there's a I think Jason's movie supposed to be coming out this year too, right?
Yeah, Jason David Frank's last project he was working on, The Legend of the White Dragon. It'll be out November, I think it was. It was September or November. I gotta check Bat in the Sun and find out. But it's through Bat in the Sun. It was his last project. It features a lot of Power Ranger alumni throughout the series. I think the Red Time Force Ranger is going to be in it. I don't know if Johnny Young Bosch is in it. I know he was in the big Kickstarter program for it a couple years ago. But several other people are going to be in it. And so it's definitely going to be a really cool project to check out. Jason David Frank's daughter is in it, Jenna Frank. She's definitely in it. She's poor girl. She's still running the, she is running the con circuit right now. It's really cool because a lot of the cons she goes to, they do little, like an honorable, memorial for Jason David Frank. And I know that's gotta be hard on her to go into all these cities and, it's, at the same time, kind of cool. They're still making it special.
Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. Okay, I guess we'll see when it comes. Oh, I think I am going to watch it when that movie comes out.
Yeah, it's going to be a darker thing. It's what he wanted. It's what Jason David Frank wanted to do, and he wanted to push away from Power Rangers and focus on that. So it's going to be really cool to see how this comes to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
So moving on to the big story tonight, I kind of threw it out there last week, especially with The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom coming out next month. How Nintendo, hopefully the Nintendo hardware can hold up to this next generation Zelda. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the Nintendo Switch. Are you guys ready to talk about it?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
All right, so how we know is the Switch came out, 2000, I forgot when it came out. It was like 6 years ago, 7 years ago?
I'd say so.
Yeah, something like that, which is about a good time for next generation hardware to come out for Nintendo, but late, not
6 years.
Yeah, 6 years. I just wanted to let everybody know right now, I love the system. Don't get me wrong. I have nothing real to complain about the system other than that we're getting to that point where games are wanting to push harder on systems, and the Switch is, and I've at least found a couple of them on Switch that just can't keep up with, like Pokemon Scarlet, which is kind of funny because it's almost a first party game, having issues running on the hardware. Like I said last week, there's certain sections of Pokemon Scarlet where there's like so much stuff going on, stuff in the background starts running at like 10 frames a second, and it's bad. Like it looks bad. So I'm really hoping that this next Zelda game can keep up with what Breath of the Wild was able to do. And Breath of the Wild had a lot of things going on with it. You guys had wind, you had fire going on, smoke, just all this type of stuff. The animals running around everywhere. I mean, there was a lot of stuff going on screen, and there was hardly any slowdown.
And so I've heard, cause you're right. I actually looked it up real quick, and it came out back in March of 2017. When that
that's right
came out, and it's been years since, and I don't know when Nintendo's gonna come out with a new console, because I was looking back at all the other systems that they came out with, you know, the GameCube, the Wii, I think the Wii U, I don't know if that was like a next more advanced system or not, or was it
the Wii U was a bad misstep. It was supposed to be a new system, but people weren't sure if it was an upgrade to the Wii, if it was a new system. They don't know what it was. It was bad marketing all around. And
it was,
don't get me wrong, it was a good system, but bad marketing.
Yeah, I think it's like the precursor to what the Switch is now. It's yes. Like the prototype for it.
Definitely. Okay. The big thing about the Switch was it was accumulation of all the systems that came before it. It took concepts from the NES, from Super Nintendo, the Game Boy. Every system had some type of influence on, especially the handheld systems, had a lot of influence on the Switch. because they wanted to create something that was going to be universally used as a handheld, and because they dominated the handheld market. Let's face it, you can't find another company out there that has dominated the handheld systems as Nintendo has. And then, of course, you have the home console, which, let's face it, Nintendo doesn't dominate the home market as it used to, but they still have their place, you know. So it was accumulation of everything, which is what gave the Switch its design as, you know, as a hybrid system of both mobile and at home. So, but however, that does have some limitations of it. I mean, now we have the Steam Deck out there right now, which is a pretty powerful handheld from what I hear. I don't have one. I can't afford one. If Steam wants to send me one to test out, I'm glad to compare it. Just saying. we have a lot of other options out there right now. There's rumor that Sony's wanting to get back in the handheld game, which is gonna make Nintendo have to kind of step up their game, right?
That isn't bad. I mean, because even though the Vita didn't sell very well, it was still a very good console or handheld. I mean.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, those visuals were great. That was what, like, almost PS2, PS3 quality graphics on a handheld?
PS3,
it's just, yeah, PS3, and yeah. And they were really good. Like, I didn't get to see too many titles on Vita. I did see Uncharted. It looked like Uncharted.
I was going to say, Uncharted was like the gold standard for what that console could do.
Yeah, and it looked fantastic. It was Uncharted. You were playing Uncharted on the go, on the bus, on a road trip, somewhere. I mean, and that's the kind of quality now, especially with the Switch, has brought a new demand and expectation of what a handheld can do now. I mean, we can't go back to the Game Boy graphics and be like, hey, settle for this. No, we're wanting 720p. We're wanting 1080p. We're wanting those type of graphics. We want high quality gaming that we would be able to play at our house, on our couch, on the go.
Yeah, from what I've been reading, it doesn't sound like Nintendo's planning anything, but according to GameSpot, they're saying that they have a source or from a research company that says that there's supposed to be a new Nintendo console coming out late 2024. Yeah. But I don't know if it's supposed to be like a Switch 2 or a whole new brand new system.
Yeah, see, that's the thing is, for years now, for the last at least 2 or 3 years, we've had rumors leaking about a Switch Pro, which is going to be a bit like an upgraded system to the Switch, which I don't really believe they should waste the money on doing a step-up version. They need to do, I think, a new console. But utilize what they've accomplished with the Switch, and keep that in mind for hopefully backwards compatibility. Nintendo has always been that great, great, great company. I'm thinking about their system until they get like at least three systems ahead, and they just can't focus on backwards compatibility anymore. It's understandable. However, like you said, there's leaks about a dev kit going out for a brand new console. In fact, I've heard word, I think it was actually through GameSpot, that supposedly in September, Nintendo is going to announce something to tease the new system. I think we're going to get another maybe 1 or 2 years left of the Switch. It's still selling pretty decently. It's still selling better than Xbox and PlayStation, I believe. I think PlayStation is selling a little bit better in the last couple months than the Switch. But during the pandemic, you couldn't find a Switch. You couldn't find one on the thing. And if you did, you'd have to pay scalper prices for it. And that was when the system has been out for a long-ass time.
3 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, there's still life to put in this thing. I know people are wanting, you know, especially with PS5 and Xbox Series X, pushing the thing for 4K, for 60 frames per second, you know, 4K, all that stuff, really pushing the thing, and it's leaving the Switch behind. Yeah, we're getting maybe 720p out of it and 30 frames per second, but at the same time, we're also getting some good quality stories through the Switch. You know, like the Zelda series, we're still getting a good quality story. Let's face it, that story is going to be freaking amazing. It looks good. It looks awesome. I cannot wait for the game, but I just hope the hardware keeps up with it and we don't have any lag back. Because, I mean, Super Mario Odyssey ran really well. New Pokemon Snap was fantastic. I mean, how the Monster Hunter, Hunter series, I said Monster Rancher for some reason. The Monster Hunter series runs really well, don't they? There's a lot of great games. Luigi's Mansion 3. I mean, that game looked fantastic when it came out, and of course, I mean, these are all past games that I'm talking about here, compared to games that are out, you know, that are still coming out for the Switch, compared to what's coming out now. I mean, like, we have Jedi Survivor coming out, you know, today when you guys listen to this podcast, it's going to be out on Xbox and PlayStation, but we're not getting it on the Switch. A lot of these games, all these really big AAA market games are skipping the Switch. Just like it has been since its launch. So, an upgrade. Hopefully, we get more AAA titles. What do you guys think?
I think something that Nintendo needs to take into consideration is just something that Sony brought to the table with their new console, and it's the option to have resolution and quality options. So, you can have like your, well, I guess with their next console, I guess it would have to be 4K or at least 4K eligible. And to have a 60 FPS option as well, because that's the only way I play games now. Like, they've already spoiled me on that. I mean, PC already did that, but now that PlayStation can do that, like, that's just the standard now.
What do you think, Tacoma?
I agree with what Thanos said, because, I mean, going from... Well, because, like, before I got my PS5, I was playing on both Xbox and PlayStation 4 simultaneously, but once I got on the PS5, I mean, it was a huge... jump in difference. Yeah, and once I figured out there's those options available on the PS5, I mean, I loved it. And now, like, I mean, I couldn't see myself, and I think I brought this conversation up with my brother probably one time, where I told him I can't see myself going back to the PS4 or let alone the Xbox, because of the how great the graphics are in the on the PlayStation 5. However, the one thing that Nintendo has that I love about it is its ability to on the go. I could take the game with me and play wherever I want to, which for me would be super convenient, especially for me being older. You know, I'm an adult. You know, I do have work and everything. However, I can take it with me and I could play it in between my breaks or if I'm traveling. I mean, I could still be a gamer. You know, yet still live, you know, my adult life too as well. But you know, right now PlayStation doesn't have that. But if it did, yeah, I would be one of the first ones to go buy one again, because I really do like that feature. And like, I just bought my Switch recently, and right now, not only do I like it, but my entire family likes it. It's getting to a point to where, like, I just got it, where I might have to buy another one, because it's very popular. And, I mean, not just with the kids, but with me and my wife including.
Awesome. What about you, Jermaine?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, they, like, I have my Switch, but I don't play it as much. But when I do take it with me somewhere, I end up enjoying it because, like Rico said, I mean, we can still be gamers on the go, you know, especially yep. going to work. If we're, like, say we take a lunch break and, you know, we get done eating, we still got time, and we can pop out, play a game or two, and, you know, then get ready to go back to work. But yeah, I would like to see it come out with something higher than what it already has in resolution. Because, like, you know, Nando said, you know, PlayStation and PC kind of spoil the hell out of you because of the 4K or just the 2K alone.
Yep.
You know, you switch, you know, if you, like mine, my PS5 and my PC are everything's hooked up to a 2K or 4K monitor. So, you know, when you hook it up and you look at the graphics and then try to hook it up to a TV, it's a big difference. And then you turn on the Switch and you're like, let me go play this over here instead. Just because of the resolution alone.
Yeah, so would you say their next console has to be portable as well?
Yeah.
So that's a must.
I would enjoy it a lot more if it was. But definitely, you know, that one right there, it's 50-50. But I'm probably leaning more to it. Should be portable.
What about you, Rico?
I mean, like right now, I do enjoy playing at home, but I do love the benefit of taking it wherever I want to. The other thing that I want to bring up was how before the Switch, another system, or I don't know if it's considered a system, but the Oculus. That was something that was talked about at work, about incorporating that into the work environment. Now, I know the Oculus, you can play games in it as well, but you can also create a virtual world where you can meet other people virtually. You know, and I remember we got talked about possibly like using it one day. The only thing, though, is the cost, because it does cost a lot, and for the company to invest, you know, X amount of money for X amount of employees, it is a lot. But, I mean, that's just another option, but I don't know how successful the Oculus is, or the Oculus type systems are out there. I think the PlayStation has their own kind of Oculus type of equipment. But I mean, as of right now, man, I don't know. Like, it's very hard to answer, because I do like the PlayStation the way it is, you know, because I could just come home and play it. But if PlayStation were to make it portable, I don't know. I feel like I kind of feel like Nintendo kind of like owns that area. Like they own the handheld. I mean, they own it since the beginning with the Game Boy. And they did it again, 20 years later, which, by the way, if you haven't seen the movie Tetris on Apple TV, highly recommend it. Watch it. Fantastic movie. But anyways, and Nintendo just does it again. Years later, their handheld system, which is technically a new generation console, not now with the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series, but still, it still dominates, and people still play it, and it's everywhere. And yeah, as James mentioned earlier, like, everyone is at one point was wanting it, and it sold out. And that's why I feel like Nintendo kind of owns the handheld systems. And you know, if PlayStation or even Xbox decides to try to go that route, I think it'll be a tough battle, because like, I think gamers like me, who are so used to playing on consoles with the Xbox or PlayStation, I think in the beginning it might be hard to move away from like that mindset of like playing at home versus it being a handheld game. Because like I guess right now with the PlayStation 5, I mean, the first game that comes to mind is Call of Duty, you know, take it on the go. But however, you can play already online on a handheld with your phone, with the app. And I think, Jermaine, you do that, right? You play Call of Duty on your phone, I think.
Yeah, I used to. I haven't played it in a while. But yeah, you can go, you know, on the go with it. It's actually pretty fun.
Yeah, that option is still there. So that's why, like, it's kind of hard. Like, I want them to, but I don't know, like, if they did, it'll be a lot of money that to invest in. And will it work out? Maybe, but I don't know. Nintendo's still out there. I feel like Nintendo, like, that's their area. And to kind of go into there and try to take over, I don't know. It's going to be a tough battle, because Nintendo kind of owns it, and they've been owning it for decades now.
Yeah, like, that's why, like, there is remote play for PlayStation, where you can play it on the go on your PS5. But there is an input lag on that, and that's just terrible. Like, any kind of input lag is just terrible. So, I mean, if they were to make an actual console, then maybe they could make a comeback into that market.
You're not going to, as I said the same thing on Xbox, they have their version of remote play, which I actually tried it out a couple years ago. It's not something I really, really kind of got into. I just couldn't get in the habit of playing Halo on the go. You know, it just didn't feel right. You know, it's certain games just don't feel right on the go. But but I did play a couple games out there through Xbox's remote play system, and it worked pretty decently, and I didn't have any issues per se. I had a couple connection issues, but it was during beta. But once they worked that out, it flowed pretty well. But it's just where Nintendo has that dedicated handheld in mind thought process, as well as allowing it to be, you know, blown up on your TV. I personally feel like the Switch is more of a handheld thought first, and because, you know, that's the main draw to it, and I think that's what attracts a lot of people to it, is that, oh, I you know, especially with kids, parents are wanting to watch TV. They don't really want to have their TV hogged up for, you know, hours on end watching Mario jump around left and right. You know what I'm saying? So there you go. Kids can take it and go to the room and go sit in a corner or something and play. kind of how you did with the Game Boy back in the day. I mean, that's just something that, you know, it's has a family centric, you know, draw to it, kind of like Rico said. You know, it's very popular with his kids and everything. So he's the guy to get another one because, you know, it's just so popular for everyone. It has that general audience pull, where I think the Xbox and the PlayStation has that more of a draw of that more, you know, gamer based mentality, you know, compared to like a Switch, you know.
So do you think like an announcement of some kind would be this year? Like, I guess a prototype of it?
If they tease something, it's going to be late this year. I don't see it coming out when they would have maybe done it, say, E3, which is canceled now, or at, I'd say more around the Tokyo Game Show later this fall, or maybe during, what's the game conference in Germany? The one that's in Cologne, I think it's the game conference in Germany. Yeah, there it is. I see it around maybe that time. If we get any type of tease, any type of announcement, it's definitely going to be probably around then, if not early next year at possible.
Yeah, just have Miyamoto walk out and say, there you go, Switch 2, and walk away.
Yeah. it's like trying to do that $299 drop with the, like PlayStation did a long time ago. $299.
And walk away.
Just walk away. What did he say? Why do you say $299 for? No, I do agree with all you guys. I do agree maybe the handheld should stay as a selling point, because it is, because like I said, we all like the gaming on the go concept. I don't see it being in handheld at 4K. So that screen's going to be like, we don't want to be carrying around a 4K television trying to play games on that. I definitely see maybe some drawbacks there in the handheld side of things, but when you connect it to, like, you know, the next generation dock, I'd see it maybe jumping up to 4K and at least getting us maybe that 60 frames a second. So I guess long-winded things, we kind of pitched to what we expect to see in the next generation Switch. I don't want to call it Switch 2, that just sounds weird. However, I really hope Nintendo is, well, I'm sure they're thinking about it. I'm sure they've been thinking about it since Switch release. So we're definitely going to have a new hardware coming up probably in the next few years. Just like every other company, they're thinking ahead. But yeah, so far we are still looking forward to Zelda next month. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up with a bow and say thank you guys for joining us. I'm going to kick it over to Jose for his final thoughts.
All right, all I'm saying is Miyamoto's going to come out and be like, all right, the Nintendo, and walk away.
The Nintendo. That's it. The Nintendo. It's over. The Nintendo.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to kick it over. I'm going to kick it. Oh, sorry, go, Jose.
No, I was just going to say thanks to everybody for checking us out on our social media pages and for checking us out on Twitch as well. I've been trying to stream more and more as much as I can throughout the week now instead of just on weekends. So as always, it's the Vine Stomach Salawa.
All right, Rico, we're going to throw it over to you, brother.
Yeah, and I just want to say that, you know, thank everybody for listening and checking us out. And don't forget, we will be having a special guest coming soon, but now let James talk on that towards the end. But yeah, if you check us out on SonicGamers.com, and if you want to join the podcast, you can send us a message. Thanks.
And last but not least, we're going to throw it over to El Tacoma. What's up, Jermaine? Tell us some final thoughts.
I want to just check out the Power Ranger movies if you haven't yet. It's actually enjoyable. Oh, and shout out to my son, actually joined the Navy today. He signed his contract and everything. So as of today, yeah, he now starts getting ready to take off to boot camp in a couple months.
Oh, well, man, congratulations.
Nice. Oh, man, thank you for your service.
But, appreciate you guys letting me back on. That's it for me.
Well, we'll go ahead and wrap this up. Like Rico said, we're going to have a special guest. We're going to have my brother on here from the increasingly getting popular, the Woke But Sleepy podcast. So we're gonna have half of that cast here on the show. We're gonna have my brother Rick Bradley. He'll be joining us. He'll be dropping his special name he's thought up. You know, we have Shadow Alchemist, we got Butter Biscuits, all these. He's thought of a name for himself because he wanted to be cool like us.
Nice.
So we can't wait to have him on the show. We're going to be talking the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So if you like Marvel, you like superhero stuff, you like superhero movies, you want to talk about the status of quality of how the films are now compared to where before they were for Endgame, we're going to be talking about all that good stuff. Here in a couple weeks, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, rest in peace, Jerry Springer. In case you guys didn't catch that, he passed away. So rest in peace for bringing us some of the greatest trash TV of all time. And follow us on all our social media pages, and we're the Unsung Gamers. We're saving the world, one game at a time.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Bye.